We're looking at James, and we're talking about tonight. We're going about the greatest of all givers, about Jesus. God is the greatest of all givers, and we've kind of been talking about through James. And verse 12 in chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, and which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And it talks about stay in the fight, don't quit, endure. Listen, he's persevere. I mean, that's part of life, isn't it? Whatever it may be, don't care what training you're going through. You think, I was using an example about the Navy SEALs. They're not the strongest. They're not the best swimmers. Listen, they're not the smartest. It's the ones that wouldn't quit and endeavor to continue on. That's what makes the difference. You know, the Christians that are going to be rewarded in glory in heaven, it's not the smartest ones. It's not the one that has all the great theology, the doctorates and the masters. It's not those. It's one that are faithful. It's those faithful teachers that teach the little boys and girls. It's one that perseveres and doesn't quit on Jesus Christ. That's one God says stay and don't continue. Then verse 13 through 16, it talks about, it says, temptations that no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. And he's talking about temptation, and it's impossible for God to be tempted with evil, and he doesn't tempt us. But he talks about the inner power, the drawn away, entices, it's drawn its way out of safety and into like an animal come out of its den of hole of being attacked. Listen, you know, the devil and the thing pulls us away from church, pulls away from things of God. And when you get outside of those things, that's where we endanger. It draws us away. And it's powerful, it entices. It's internal things. It's not, you know, the thing is that if we ain't careful, we have to stay close to God, because those things pull us away, and then we're in danger out of safety. But it's impersonal. But he said, don't be erred. Don't err, my beloved brethren. Listen, he talks who he's talking to us, but don't be deceived. It's kind of like, I can't remember if I used the theory of air traffic controlling or a fisherman. I mean, there's different ways you can kind of look at it, but as a controller, you know, the pilot had to listen to the controller and listen. He can't see. The clouds are covering his view, and he's trying to land in the airport. And I just saw recently a video. A guy was doing a dog leg landing. He was about, I guess, 40 degrees off, and he comes at the very end, and, you know, he lands and smooths it in because the crosswinds is pulling him across. But the thing is, in our life, there's things that pushes us and hinders us, but we got to trust the Word of God no matter what it seems, but keep our eyes focused on that runway. And or if we don't see it, but trust in God that, listen, he's going, we come out of the clouds, we're going to break through them clouds, and we're going to see that center line. Listen, at nighttime, I've had pilots, you can hear their voice, and kind of they're scared, but you're talking to them, and they're listening to that voice of confidence, and you're telling them, listen, you continue if you please, and you when you break out, you're going to see it, and you're going to be lined up. They're trusting me. And that's what we do with trust God. He said, don't be deceived. And listen, you trust him. He is, you know, when you come out through the clouds of deceitfulness, and he said, you'll see and you'll be lined up. No matter what trials and struggles we go through. In verse 17 and 18 is our text tonight. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And we want to talk to you tonight about the greatest of all givers, because he is the greatest of all givers we can imagine. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and help us to be attentive to your word, and help our minds be settled, and have our minds be focused on your word. And Lord, hide me behind the cross, that the reading of your word may bless the hearts and the hearers of the Lord. Help us to take some truths, Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit to show some things in our life to be convicted, Lord. We need to draw closer and humble to you, Father. And Lord, and trust in you, Lord. As we come through the clouds, we cannot see, but we're trusting your word. And as we break through those things, Father, those clouds and things we cannot see, Lord God, we lined up and knowing exactly where we're doing, what you want us to do. Father, I love you. Now be with the people. And help us, Lord, that when we leave here tonight, we can say we've been with you, Father, and speak to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a preacher one day who was appealing to his congregation one night about money. Can you imagine that? Yeah. He was talking to people about money, and he's about a new building. So he invited everyone to bring gifts to lay them at the altar. Immediately after the altar was filled with people bringing their offering. And a little crippled girl came slowly down the front, and she was pulling a little ring off her finger and laying it on the altar. And adjusting her crutches, she turned around and began to walk back to the seat. And after the service, the usher brought her back to the pastor's study, and pastor said, "Dear girl, I saw the thing that you did tonight. It was a beautiful gesture. However, the response of the people was so great that we received enough money to build a new building. Therefore, we don't need your ring. We want you to give it back to you." The little girl stood with the sternness of her eyes and replied, "I didn't give you that ring to you. I gave it to God." Now listen, the greatest gift that God ever given is Him. And listen, it's not just for you, but it's just not to be Him giving itself. He was giving us something very powerful. The greatest gift is His life. Listen, just that little girl gave that ring and before God. Listen, God gave His Son that you have the greatest gift. Now, listen, we can say it's not valuable, but it's valuable. It's the most valuable gift that you can ever receive. A lot of times we have it and we put it, but we don't use it. We don't apply it. Listen, it's like when I was talking this morning about mining. We have so much of the Word of God available. We just need to mine it and work those things out in our life to get closer to God and let God use us in our life. But I want to talk to you about the gracious character of the giver. Verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." Listen, it cometh down from the Father of lights. Listen, it's from Him alone. And then it says, "With whom there's no variableness and neither shadow of turning." In verse 13 and 16, when, like I said a while ago, he's dealing with the temptation and that, you know, it's not from God. But now he really focuses from the temptation. It's not from God. It's from within. But he's talking about the goodness of God. And he warns us, be not erred. Listen, don't be deceived in thinking that the temptation is from God. But recognize that gracious character of God's the giver. And he illustrates this by showing us the God's gift. By he's saying, number one is the scope of it. Every. Look at verse 17. The word every. He goes, every good gift, but this is how the word it describes is vast. Every is the span of it. It makes me think of how you look at the universe and compared to the earth. It's large, it's great. Notice the vastness of it. It's a gift from heaven. It's every good gift. It's inducing how the very extent of that gift is to every good gift, every trace to goodness from anything is from God. Every good gift. I mean, it's just the very scope of it. It's the massiveness of it. I mean, can you imagine how big the universe is? I think our minds can't grasp the grandness of how great it is, the vastness. It seems like there's no end, and yet there's us and that earth. And listen, he created all that for us. Listen, that's what he did. That's what the goodness of God is, that grandness, that vastness. But yet, it says, he showed it's not just the scope of his gift. I want you to notice that. The status, the standing of it, if you please. Every good gift and every perfect gift. He narrows the field, not just in every, but it's good and perfect. And in verse 4, it says, in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "But let patience have a perfect work." You know, it says that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. That means that we're talking about its completeness, its maturity. In verse 17, he's saying here, every perfect, every good gift and every perfect gift is speaking of the ultimate, which cannot be altered or it cannot be bettered. It's completely good. It's completely perfect. There's nothing to change to it. A Kelvin scale that's about absolute zero. I don't know if many of y'all heard of that or not, but it really helps kind of grasp what he's trying to say here is that it says that once you get about 459.67 degrees Fahrenheit, it takes all the heat's gone. There's absolutely no heat there. There's no molecules of energy, of heat. It's absolutely cold. It can't get any colder. It's just how cold it will be. And yet that's what God has given us. He's ultimately is perfect. There's no, it can't get better and it can't get, I mean, you can't get worse. We've gotten worse, but that's who He is. Every good gift is perfect, complete, it's mature. Nothing ever can get better. It's complete. Listen, he describes the gifts from heaven, from above. And, you know, he says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He speaks of heaven and he contrasts the earthly gifts with sincere. You know, we give gifts to each other that are sensible, sufficient. But listen, this gift is free. It's without any defects. It's completely perfect. I mean, think about it. It's every good thing enticing is good. It's from God and it's perfect. But you know, we look at man's handiwork, and I was looking online about microscope needles, and you know, you look at a needle and it, and you see how it's manufactured and looks smooth and to a sharp point, and it's smooth and clean. But under a microscope, you see it, it's jagged, it's dull at the end. But then you compare it to a bee stinger, how precise to the point even more, and it's how creative, or the, even the mosquitoes, how God, the point of them are, is to how God described them. What I'm trying to say is that what man has created, we think is exquisite and great, and you come to examine it, it finds it flaws and jagged. But God, when He creates something perfect, it's really good. And then look at flowers. You see it's beautiful and it's the majesty of it. And then you examine it underneath the microscope, it gets even better. Amen. Listen, you see the Word of God is good and pure, but when you get into it and you start studying, it gets better. Amen. The more you surrender to God, it gets better. Amen. You got life, but you give more to God, it gets better. You see how man, the creation is never really that good. It seems good, but more you get with God and it comes better. Listen, He gives every perfect gift, every good gift. Anything imaginable is good. You wake up this morning, I'm breathing, that's good because of God. You say, I got troubles, that's good. He's working. He's working. He's moving you. I mean, everybody's got a hall in their church. It keeps you straight. Amen. Brother Hall said, what do you say? No, but listen, it really is comparing to perfection. And we see God's hand. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, talking about His work, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is He. Or His way is in Psalms 18, verse 30, as of God, His way is perfect. Listen, His way is what? Perfect. Remember, that perfect is nothing you can change to get better. It's the way. Listen, and it ain't my way. It's always God's way. So you think about it. If God's way is perfect, then why are we doing it our way? Well, why are we trying to do it, fix it? They say soul winning don't work because they're trying to fix it for their way. But God said it don't need to be fixed. I got it right. Go and tell. Listen, His will. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How about His word? In Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Why is man trying to help God with His word? Don't need help. Every time we try to fix it, what are you doing? You're tearing it up. You know why it says in Revelation that man changed the word? Listen, come to this. They lose their life because when you start changing, you get away from God, don't you? When you get away from God, there's only one way. You're changing it. It's perfect. The gift from heaven is Randy works all perfect because He is perfect. The gift from heaven is not only included in their scope or their status, but it's the source. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it's coming down from the Father of lights. This is the source. He is the source of everything. It cometh down. Speak of the continuation. It is always good. He's always continuing. His mercy is renewed every morning. It's always a continuing. His name is the Father of lights. And listen, let me illustrate the truth in this is this. You look at a city. Have you ever been on a mountain, or you're looking at a city, or you're flying over cities, and you see all the lights and the street lights and the housing and maybe the signs, and you look and you know there's a source. There's a main source of that light from the power company, wherever it may be. It pulls that source. But listen, we know our source, and it's the Father of lights. Listen, He is the source of all lights. He's the source of all truth. In Psalms 8, verse 3, says the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Okay, I'll just make sure I got in the right section there. At Psalms 8:3 says the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, or Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, the light dwelleth with him. And Amos 5:8 says, seek him This is that maketh the seven stars in Orion. The Lord is his name. Or 1 John 1:5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He is the source. Listen, he's the father of all lights. That's who he is. He's that source of it. From Genesis to Revelation, he's that source. And then we see the nature of that source, who he is. He says in verse 17, when we're trying to find my verse, it says, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We see that nature where he doesn't change. His variableness speaks of change and alternation. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. He speaks of in Hebrews 13:8, I'm the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Listen, forever. He's always the same. Doesn't change. Is that shadow of turning? Does it shift? Let me read what a guy wrote here. He says, one day a man standing under a street light where there's no shadow is cast. If you stand directly under the light, there is no shadow. Take one step away, and then he said, you'll see that shadow in front of you. Take a few more steps, and that shadow grows. If you go far enough, he said, it'd be in total darkness. So we see that light is shown, but listen, as we move from that light, that's what causes that shadow. God never moves. He's always the same. The problem we have is we get away from God and we think, God, why are you doing this? The problem is us. We stay in the center will of God and find out. Listen, he may laugh. Think what I always like. Job, what did Job do wrong? But listen, he was trying to stay close. But listen, he was leaning a little bit left. He was leaning a little right. Because he is a man. He's got a sinful nature. But he always tried to focus on God, doesn't he? Listen, but it is always a little shadow. But God never moves. He never changes. If God never changes, then God did what for Peter, and he did what for different prophets or all these different men in the Bible. I can't think of a single name right now, but he didn't change. He's just still the same God that did for them. He do for me and you. He answered their prayers. Could he not answer our prayers? The problem is we get away from God. We don't bide into the Word of God. We don't dwell into the Word of God and stay in the center where it's just a light shining upon us. Listen, he never changes. A.W. Pink says, God cannot change for the better, for he is already perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. So we see the glorious character of what God is the giver. Verse 18, it tells us, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I want you to notice that the glorious of the conversion of the giver. Know how gracious it is. And listen, he's a great giver, but notice the greatest gift is given from all givers, that he gives the best. And listen, the best is the new birth. Listen, verse 18, he says, of his own will begot he us. That's the greatest gift that man can have. Listen, what else could be better than salvation? What else is better than that? If you never got anything else from God, you got the best. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He's so much good. He always gives more and more. Listen, if your wagon is empty because you ain't spending the Word of God, open the windows of heaven. Listen, it ain't just talking about giving. He's talking about giving everything. Listen, God wants to pour out his blessings upon our life. It's infinity. The born again speak of infinity. It's a continuation. Of his own will begot he us. Listen, it's a term that is only that God gives. He's not within our time zone or time. It's eternity. It's infinite. Infinity. Now, he born again is of his own will. You know, John 15:16 tells us that ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Or Ephesians 1:11 says, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He begotten us. That's what salvation is. Never us, it's him. And he's given us that birth and it's infinity because it's from heaven, and heaven everything consists forever. And Jeremiah says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Listen, he knew us before eternity existed. And he giving that life is always affinity. It always lasts. Listen, that new birth is, you notice the conversion is the grandest. But notice that then if the birth is infinity, is everlasting, it's the instrument of the new birth. Look at what it says here. Of his own will begot he us the word of truth. That instrument, the word of God, is referred to the gospel. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, nor of incorruptible, but it says, by the word of God, which lieth, liveth and abideth forever. Because it's infinity. It's from heaven. It's always continuing. This is the word of God. It's mighty. The Holy Spirit uses to bring life. It brings life. It changes us. Listen, it brings repentance. It affects man's lives. Listen, you can't reason with people to be born again. You have to give them the truth, and they have to see the word of God. And the Holy Spirit uses those truths and convicts the men of this condition. We all do good. Listen, everybody comes in here and they wear a tie, nook, smile. And listen, we all do good, don't we? We ain't going to talk about all they're bad, are we? But we're all wicked. We're all vile. Listen, he brings his life. And listen, we didn't have that. That's why the Bible said faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It changes us. It makes us different. That greatest gift he's given is the word. And listen, it's amazing. He saves me, but he changes my line. He works out your own salvation. I spoke this morning. He wants you to work those things out, what he's worked in your life. Listen, it's an instrument that really changes man's life. Listen, no man can be saved without the word of God. You got to have the word of God. It affects the man's heart. It brings conviction. But also, not listen to the gift. It's not the affinity or the instrument, but the intention. Verse 18, again with me, it says, of his own will begot he us with a word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, listen, he draws from the Old Testament, from Leviticus and Exodus, where he speaks of the Israelites required to bring the firstborn, the cattle, the fruits of the ground that belongs to God. He uses the first fruits to show us that the receiver, the new birth, our life is to be like the ground, to be exclusive for him. We're the first fruits of him. Listen, we are still able to produce fruits, but we are his. It's the doctrine of sanctification speaks of, like in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, says, purify unto us himself a peculiar people. We're different. Listen, we're the first fruits. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The intention of the Word of God is to make us first fruits. Listen, to bear out the Word of God, it changes life. We are people with great honor. We're people of a great duty. We have a great responsibility. He saved you and he says, now I want you to be fruitful and I want you to win. You're ambassadors. Listen, if you sit back and do nothing, you have this great honor and you're pushing it aside. You're pushing away what God has privileged. It's like a kid that has everything and he acts like he has nothing. We're spoiled. Oh, the Word of God is really infinite. It lasts forever. It's an instrument that changes lives, but its intention is to bring fruit and change lives in people's lives. It sets us apart in Him, by Him, and for Him, and through Him. But He's the greatest giver. The thing is in our life is do we look at this and say, you know what, God? Every good gift you give me, every perfect gift is from above. It's from you, and this, and there's no, it doesn't change. It's always good. And isn't it soothing that knowing that God doesn't change? Isn't it good that you know that He put value in you? He has a purpose in your life. You are somebody in Him. Before Him, you were a nobody. But now He become a somebody to tell everybody about the somebody. He changes us. He doesn't change. Ain't it good that you know when you're hurting, no matter if you're hurting or happy, whatever it may be, you can go to God and say, God, I know here you are. Maybe I've drifted. He doesn't change. What a great gift. Sometimes we just need to sit back and say, you know what, this is the greatest gift I ever got. If He's the greatest gift and this is the greatest God, where's your heart committed to that? Can you imagine, I give my wife flowers and I buy her a new car and then buy her a big old diamond ring, and I'm trying to always do those nice things to her, and you're watching how I'm good to her, and she just kind of trashes it, steps on it and says, it's just worthless. It's unvaluable. She goes and She goes to a lollipop store and gets a little ring. She'd rather the plastic ring. She'd rather live in a trailer park of the house. There's no air conditioning. She'd rather live with somebody, some man that doesn't care for her and beats her. What would you say? What foolishness? Go to the one that loves you. Go to one that you belong to. Remember the prophet, his wife runs off. What was her name? Can't think of her name now. But listen, she come back. She realized that I better go back to one that's a good gift. We need to go back to the one that God has given us the great gifts in our lives, folks. Spend time with that thing about my heart still beating. He's still the greatest God ever. Not appreciating what he's done for my life. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from him. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Let's all stand heads bowed, eyes closed.